pad. "Do you feel like moving anytime today?" Pipsqueak called down, sounding impatient. Alex was jolted from her thoughts. "Sorry," she said, getting up and moving to the side. Pipsqueak, Blink, and finally Jordan dropped to the ground, landing much more gracefully than Alex had.
"That was fun," Jordan said. If he hadn't sounded so sarcastic, Alex would have contemplated throwing a rock at him.
"Totally ripping, bro,"
Blink agreed. Alex wasn't entirely sure what ripping meant, but she presumed it was a good thing, judging by Blink's glowing expression. Unfortunately, she didn't know the guy well enough to knock some sense into him.
"What now?"
Pipsqueak asked, peering into the trees around them.
"Now we begin your training."
8. Hunter's words echoed around them, but no matter how hard she looked, Alex couldn't see the teacher anywhere. Not until he stepped out of the forest, appearing before them as if out of thin air.
"Welcome to your first class in stealth and subterfuge," he said. "You've just had your introductory test. What did you learn?"
There was a pause as the four of them got over their shock at his sudden manifestation. Then Jordan jumped in.
"Keep an eye out for hidden traps."
"Good,"
Hunter said.
"What else?"
"Don't grab random towels off trees,"
Blink suggested. Before Hunter could respond, Pipsqueak added,
"Keep Alex around for when you need a weapon handy."
Jordan and Blink chuckled, but Alex was still too unnerved by what had happened to join in.
"What about you, Alex?"
Hunter asked.
"Anything to contribute?"
She thought for a moment, not wanting to answer straight away. She'd learned quite a few things during the test, but one thing in particular stood out to her. Appearances can be deceiving.
"How so?"
Hunter prompted. The cloth was a diversion, aimed at keeping our attention off the ground. It was a distraction to keep us from noticing the trap.
"And yet, you noticed it,"
Hunter pointed out,
"even when your classmates didn't."
Just how long had he been watching them? Probably the whole time, Alex realized.
"You'll learn many things in my class,"
Hunter said, addressing them all.
"Most of which will come from experience. If you pay attention to what I teach, you'll remain my students for this year and next. It's very rare that I take on apprentices, but if you show a high level of aptitude, I may offer to further your training. At present, I have only one apprentice, and the remainder of your classmates are fifth years."
As he spoke, four people stepped silently out of the forest. They were dressed exactly like Alex, wearing black, black, and more black, and they wore the stupid strangling capes as well. They had their hoods lowered, and Alex immediately recognized two of them. She'd already known about Caden, but she was pleasantly surprised to see Declan as well.
"Take 5 minutes to introduce yourselves,"
Hunter said.
"Most of the time you spend together in my class will involve group activities where you need to be able to trust each other. You don't have to become best friends, but you do have to learn to respect one another. Starting now."
He walked over to the tree that held the trap and began lowering the netting to the ground, leaving his students to converse. The two classmates Alex hadn't yet met were Skyla Fay, a girl in the year above her, and Tom Barrett, Hunter's first year apprentice. Skyla was tall and willowy, with golden hair framing her classically beautiful face. She barely glanced at Alex and Pipsqueak when they introduced themselves, instead focusing entirely on Blink and Jordan. Jordan, more so. When she wasn't looking at either of them, she was staring, rather obviously in Alex's opinion, at Caden. Alex couldn't exactly blame the girl, but still. Skyla clearly had her priorities, and apparently neither Pipsqueak nor Alex rated high on that list. Tom seemed like a nice enough guy, if quiet. He was also tall, with closely cropped black hair, and skin so dark that he effortlessly blended in with the shadows of the forest. Once their introductions were complete, silence descended upon them until Blink asked the older students if they'd witnessed them getting caught up in the net. Apparently they had,
and mentioned that Hunter had pulled the same initiation trick on them. Alex was only half listening. She was hyper-aware of the eerie forest around her. Every little noise intruded on her peace of mind, making her wonder just what might be out there. What if Avon was nearby, or another snarling beast? She scanned the surrounding trees, anxiously waiting for Hunter to begin the class so she could be distracted by his lesson. "I had a feeling I might see you here," a warm voice whispered in her ear, causing goosebumps to rise up on her skin. Alex whipped around to find Caden standing close behind her. The others were deep in conversation about the various ways they could have escaped the trap, and Alex hadn't noticed him approach. Other than in combat the previous day, where she'd had very little interaction with him, the last time she'd seen him had been in the medical ward, when she'd turned her back on him. "Why do you say that?" she asked, as she took in his striking features. If anything, he was even more mesmerizing under the light of the moon. The way the shadows framed everything from his strong brow to his chiseled jawline. "Chiseled? Jawline?" Alex mentally slapped herself. "Snap out of it, girl. Jeez." Caden shrugged, and his cape rustled with the movement, reclaiming her attention.
"Call it intuition."
"Yeah, well, thanks for the heads up," Alex said pointedly.
"You're obviously here for a reason," he told her, echoing the words of her friends. "Hunter wouldn't have taken you on otherwise."
"That's what everyone keeps telling me," she muttered on a sigh.
"Time's up,"
Hunter called out at last.
"For the rest of this lesson, you'll be paired up and given a task to complete. Philippa, you're with Tom, Jordan with Caden, Blink with Declan, and Alex with Skyla. Grab your partner and come get a piece of paper from me."
"This'll be fun," Alex thought sarcastically, noticing the disappointed pout on Skyla's face.
"Tough luck,"
Caden murmured to her as he went over to meet Jordan. Not sure what to make of Caden's comment, Alex stepped forward to take the paper from Hunter, since Skyla didn't seem to be making any effort to move. She opened it and read the words as she walked over to her partner. "Where the little people play, sing songs and dance around all day. Only there you'll find a way to retrieve a figurine of clay. Follow the mushrooms and you'll be okay. But do be careful what you say, for tricky are those pesky fae. So take care or there'll be a price to pay."
"Well, what does it say?"
Skyla asked. Alex handed over the paper. "It's a riddle or something." Skyla scrunched up her face, squinting at the note.
"What does it mean?"
"I'm the new student here," Alex reminded her. "You've been in Hunter's class for a year, so your guess is better than mine." Skyla shrugged and proceeded to buff her fingernails against her cape. "Wonderful."
"You have 90 minutes to follow the instructions you've been given," Hunter called out. "If you're not back in that time, you'll have failed your task."
"What do we do if that happens?" Alex asked. Hunter looked at her as if the answer was obvious.
"You keep going until you're done. Only when you've completed your assignment will you be dismissed."
Alex had to hold back a groan. She was going to be stuck out there all night. She just knew it. Maybe even longer.
"Off you go," Hunter said. "And new students, remember what class this is. You won't have an easy journey."
As much as she wished it wasn't true, Alex presumed that was Hunter code for, "I've rigged more traps and you're all going to die." Cue, sigh. "Let's go, Skyla," she said, taking charge and heading deeper into the forest.
"Why are you leading us?"
Skyla asked, trailing along behind Alex. "The clue mentions following mushrooms," Alex said. "So that's where I say we should start, unless you have any better ideas."
"Nope,"
Skyla said, too busy inspecting a tendril of her hair to even watch where she stepped. "I didn't think so," Alex muttered, too low for the other girl to hear. 10 minutes later, and she wondered if she was developing a nervous tic. While Alex wasn't the quietest person in the world, she might as well have been, in comparison to the racket Skyla was making as they walked through the forest. "You know," Alex couldn't help but say, I'm pretty sure it's called stealth and subterfuge for a reason. Emphasis on stealth. Do you mind picking your feet up when you walk? Okay, so that was kind of snarky. But she was anxious to get out of the forest, and so far they hadn't seen any mushrooms, let alone ones that led to places unknown.
You think you're so special, don't you?
Skyla said. Not really, Alex answered, though she figured the question was supposed to be rhetorical.
Good, Skyla said. Because let me tell you, you're not. Special, I mean. You're not special at all.
Thanks for clarifying, Alex said, her tone dry. I wasn't sure what you were talking about for a moment there, but now I know. I'm not special.
That's right, Skyla said victoriously. It's good you can agree, but you should also know that unlike you, I am special, and that's just the way it is.
She's special, all right, Alex thought. During their walk, she had come to the conclusion that Skyla wasn't really the uncaring snob she came across as. She was just shallow, but in a harmless way. While that was better than her being an utter cow, it didn't help their current situation, nor did it explain how Skyla was accepted into Hunter's class to begin with. Can I ask you something? Alex asked, ducking under a low-hanging branch. Don't take this the wrong way or anything, but how did you get into SAS? Hopefully, Skyla wouldn't read the obvious message in her words, the "what the hell was Hunter thinking" implication.
It's because I'm special, remember? Skyla said. I just told you that. Weren't you listening to me?
Of course I was, Alex answered quickly, wanting to avoid the impending hissy fit she sensed was coming.
What I meant was, what is it exactly that makes you so, special? Oh, Skyla said. Well, that's all right, I guess. I hate it when people don't listen when I talk.
Alex didn't say anything, figuring it was best to keep her thoughts to herself.
Other than my obvious appeal, Skyla continued, and Alex had to fight back a snort of derision. Hunter recruited me because of my gift. It's very handy in stealthy and subterfuging situations.
Alex knew that subterfuge wasn't a word, but at least it made more sense. Skyla's subterfuging sounded like some kind of nasty chemical reaction.
What's your gift? Alex asked,
holding back all the other comments that wanted to burst from her mouth.
I can shapeshift, Skyla said.
Alex stopped pushing her way through the leafy woodland and turned to gape at her companion. Seriously? In answer, Skyla's whole body began shimmering, and seconds later, she transformed into an exact replica of Alex.
Seriously,
the Skyla Alex copy answered, mimicking Alex's response.
That's just freaky, Alex said, staring wide-eyed at her doppelganger.
Skyla shimmered again and shifted back to her normal self.
I can't hold other forms for too long without getting tired, but it's worth it for the shock value sometimes.
Alex didn't doubt that. She certainly wouldn't get the image out of her mind for a while, that was for sure.
Shapeshifting would definitely be a huge help with subterfuge, Alex admitted.
She didn't bother to mention how sucky Skyla seemed to be with the stealth aspect.
You could literally trick people into thinking you were anyone. That's insane. You're insane, Skyla snapped.
Alex jerked in shock and carefully said, I wasn't insulting you, Skyla. It was a compliment.
Oh. Skyla twirled a strand of hair around her finger. I knew that. People compliment me all the time, so I guess I'm just used to it.
Alex mentally shook her head and moved forward again, intent on finding some mushrooms before her partner's specialness began to rub off on her. Thankfully, they had their first fungi sighting just a few steps later, much to Alex's relief. After 20 minutes of following the mushrooms, Skyla broke the peaceful silence.
Are we almost there?
Alex grumbled under her breath. I sure hope so.
What was that?
Skyla demanded.
I said, I think so, Alex covered.
There are more mushrooms now than there were before. That's probably a good sign. It was true. At first, the fungi had been sporadic at best, dusted around the forest floor so infrequently that Alex had been challenged to find a clear trail. But now that they were further along, the mushrooms practically formed a straight line to follow.
"I'm hungry," Skyla said. "Do you think these mushrooms are edible?"
"Why don't you try one and see?" Alex thought. But then she realized that if anything happened to Skyla, it would be she who had to carry her out of the forest. So in a firm voice, she said, "It's probably not a good idea to eat them. They might be poisonous."
"Yeah, I guess you're right," Skyla said, her disappointment clear. "Oh, look, that's much better than mushrooms."
Alex turned around to see what the other girl was talking about, only to find Skyla walking away from her and heading over to a massive tree. Resting on a branch at eye level was a picnic basket, bursting with food.
"Skyla, wait,"
Alex said, knowing that the food was clearly a setup, and an obvious one at that. She had no doubt it would be booby-trapped by Hunter.
"Stop telling me what to do,"
Skyla hissed, ignoring Alex's warning and stomping towards the branch.
"No, really, you need to listen."
"Look," Skyla interrupted.
"I know you're all blah, blah, let's get this riddle nonsense over with, but I won't take long, and I'll share too, since I'm so nice."
"Skyla!" Alex yelled, trying to get the girl's attention, but she just wasn't willing to listen.
"Seriously, Alex?" Skyla said impatiently. "You need to get over your... Ah! Skyla!"
Alex sprinted over to the massive hole in the ground where Skyla had previously been standing. She dropped onto her stomach and wriggled the last few feet, balancing her weight so she wouldn't fall in as well.
"Skyla, can you hear me? Are you hurt?"
"I'm all right,"
Skyla answered weakly, her voice echoing up the deep hole. Alex released a breath.
"How far down are you? I can't see anything."
"Not too far, I think,"
Skyla said, her voice shaky.
"I didn't fall for long."
"Can you see me?"
Alex asked, knowing there was at least some light shining on her and hoping it was enough for the other girl to see.
"Yeah,"
Skyla answered,
"but you're too far away for me to reach."
"Okay, hold on."
Alex wriggled away from the hole and stood up. She looked around the area, hoping to find something to help them, and settled on a long, sturdy branch attached to a tree. It took some twisting and pulling and earned her more than one splinter, but finally Alex was able to yank it free. She scurried back to the opening of the hole and lowered the branch down into the darkness.
"Try to grab hold, Skyla."
After a few moments of silence, Alex wondered what the other girl was waiting for.
"Ready when you are,"
she added.
"I can't stand,"
Skyla whimpered.
"I think I've sprained my ankle. I can't reach the branch without standing."
Alex had to stifle a groan. She had to get Skyla out of the trap, but how could she do that without a rope?
"Skyla, can you use your gift to lengthen your arm?"
Alex asked.
"Or just shapeshift into something long enough to reach me?"
"I don't have supernatural elasticity, Alex,"
Skyla returned in a pained voice.
"I can only shift into other people, and I don't know anyone who has ladder arms."
It had been worth a try, if nothing else. Standing up again, Alex began pacing around the area, hoping for some kind of inspiration. She'd only taken 3 steps when she managed to trip on her cape yet again. "Stupid thing," she muttered, flinging it over her shoulder and continuing onwards. But then she froze, as an idea came to mind, and she unclasped the annoying garment and hurried over to the hole, shoving the material down as soon as she was close enough.
"Can you grab my cape?" Alex asked.
"I still can't reach it,"
Skyla answered, her voice hitching.
"Please don't leave me down here."
"I'm not going to leave you," Alex promised. "Are you able to throw your cape up to me? Can you do that? I might be able to tie them together so they're long enough to reach you."
"I think so,"
Skyla said, and Alex had to quickly grab the material as Skyla flung it towards her face.
"Good job," Alex encouraged. "Give me a second."
She tied the 2 capes together, securing them tightly, and threw one end of the cloth back into the hole.
"I've got it,"
Skyla cried. "Make sure you hold on," Alex called down, "and help me if you can." Now for the hard part, Alex thought, as she strained to lift Skyla out of the hole. It wasn't an easy task, given that she was lying on her stomach and could only use the strength in her upper body. But between the two of them, they managed to get Skyla out of the trap. Alex's arms burned from the effort, but she was more concerned about Skyla's ankle. What were they supposed to do if she couldn't walk? Can you stand? Alex asked, once they had scrambled a safe distance away from the hole and caught their breath.
Maybe if you help, Skyla said in a pained voice.
Alex reached out and gently pulled Skyla to her feet. She was wobbly and couldn't place any pressure on her left foot, but at least she was upright. Do you think you can continue? Or do you need me to go and find help? Alex asked.
Don't leave me alone out here,
Skyla pleaded again, clutching desperately at Alex's shirt.
Please don't leave me.
It's all right, Alex soothed. We'll stay together. But that means we have to finish the task. Hunter was pretty firm about not dismissing us until it's done, unless you know him better. Do you think he'll be lenient because you're injured? Should we just go back now? Skyla shook her head, her face pale.
Tom snapped his wrist in class last year. The bone was poking out and everything, but Hunter just wrapped a bandage around it, gave him a vial of pain reliever, and made him wait until the task was finished before he was allowed to leave with the rest of us. Hunter said it was character building.
Alex felt sick of the thought. Right. Let's just hurry up and finish this then. We'll be back in no time, I'm sure. Bearing most of Skyla's weight, Alex helped her hobble along the mushroom path deeper into the forest. A few times she noticed more evidence of Hunter's traps, a tripwire that crossed their path, mushrooms of a slightly different shade that led in a different direction, and even a rope snare on the ground that would have trapped their feet and hung them upside down in the air. Alex wondered what would have happened to them had they fallen victim to any of those perils. After what felt like forever, they came to the end of the mushroom trail. It led them into a clearing where the fungi grew in an almost perfect circle. The moonlight streamed through the trees, creating a beautifully eerie atmosphere.
That's a fairy circle, Skyla said,
hopping backwards a few steps and dragging Alex with her.
No way am I stepping in there.
Alex looked at the mushroom ring, then back up at Skyla. Don't tell me you're superstitious.
It's not superstition, Skyla said,
her voice thick with nerves.
You read the note we were given. Even Hunter knows how dangerous the Fae can be. Uh-uh. No way.
He didn't say they're dangerous, just that they're tricky, Alex argued, amazed that she wasn't debating the possibility of fairies being real, but whether or not they were a threat.
He said there could be a price to pay, Skyla replied, her voice rising. Everyone knows that if you step into a fairy circle, you might never come back. No, he wrote to be careful what we say, not what we do,
Alex reminded the frightened girl. I'm sure Hunter wouldn't make us do anything that would result in us getting stuck in
wherever the Fae live.
Skyla folded her arms stubbornly.
I'm still not stepping in there.
Alex sighed and looked at the circle again. It was large, filling most of the clearing. But what caught Alex's eye was the small statue in the center, apparently the rhyme's figurine of clay that they needed to retrieve. The only way to reach it was by entering the circle. All right, Alex said, propping Skyla up against a tree trunk. You wait here and I'll go get it, okay?
No, you can't, Skyla shrieked. Then I'll be stuck here all on my own.
I'll just be over there, Alex said in her most calming voice. You'll be able to see me the whole time.
Not if you disappear. Then I'll probably die out here.
It's nice to know you're so concerned for my welfare, Alex commented under her breath. Louder, she said. Listen, the sooner I grab that statue, the sooner we can get out of here. Just relax. We'll both be fine. Ignoring the desire to hesitate, Alex walked forward and determinedly stepped over the edge of the mushroom ring into the clearing. Once both feet were inside the circle, she released the breath she hadn't realized she was holding. She then turned to look back at Skyla with a reassuring smile.
See? I'm...
Alex stopped dead because Skyla was gone.
9.
Alex whipped her head around, frantically searching the moonlit clearing. She was in exactly the same place, Mushroom Circle included. Nothing had changed, and yet everything had changed, because the clay statue was now missing, and so was Skyla. This is like a scene straight out of the Twilight Zone, Alex murmured, her body tense with anxiety. What am I supposed to do now? A whisper in the wind answered her, a musical voice, poetic and lilting.
Enter in, if you dare, as one who seeks out Maya. Be strong of mind and pure of heart, for your journey begins at Raelia.
Cryptic much? Alex whispered, more than a little creeped out.
Cryptic is as cryptic does, replied the same whimsical voice.
Are you going to show yourself, or maybe tell me who you are? Alex said, squinting into the shadows but seeing no one.
I would ask the same of you, the voice said, but I already know who you are, so there is no need.
Alex was muddling over that when a figure appeared directly in front of her, startling her so much that she stumbled backwards.
Lady Mystique!
Alex cried, trying to regain her balance.
Hello again, child, the old woman said. You've come a long way since last we met.
What are you doing here? Alex asked, her eyes wide with incredulity. Their last encounter had been at Ye Old Bookshop in Woodhaven, a shop that didn't actually exist, as Alex had since discovered.
What does it look like I'm doing?
Lady Mystique indicated to the basket she carried. I'm picking mushrooms.
Raelian mushies are the best you'll find anywhere.
Alex gaped at the woman, too surprised for words.
But I'm more curious about why you are here, the woman said.
I'm not here intentionally. I just ended up here.
Did you not step into the circle? Lady Mystique asked.
Well, yes.
Then you are here intentionally.
Alex didn't bother arguing the point. I don't suppose you'd mind telling me where here is, exactly?
Look around you. What do you see?
Humoring her, Alex answered. A forest clearing inside a mushroom circle.
Look closer.
Alex frowned, but did as she was told. As she focused on her surroundings, the moonlight strengthened, illuminating the area. Where the clearing met the trees, just beyond the mushroom ring, Alex could see multiple pathways leading out into the forest. They were all around the edge of the clearing, at least 8 different trails, none of which she had noticed before.
What is this place?
She whispered, feeling a sense of awe.
This is Raelia, Lady Mystique answered. In the common tongue, it translates to mean the crossroads. It's a sacred place, a place of direction, of destiny. Look around and see your choices. Which path do you take? Do you go left or right, forward or back? But don't be fooled, for it's much more than a geographical crossroad. Raelia represents opportunity. It yields to the desires of one's heart. It offers temptation, sacrifice, hope, and victory. The choice of direction lies with each individual who sets foot within its boundary.
After a pause, Alex admitted, I'm not sure I understand.
You will, Alexandra. You will.
And that I definitely don't understand. Lady Mystique wheezed out a husky-sounding laugh. Why does everything have to be so confusing? Alex asked, rubbing her forehead.
Oh, sweet child, the old woman said, patting Alex's shoulder.
When the time comes, you'll have the answers you need.
I can't wait, Alex said somewhat sarcastically. The lady sent her a wrinkled smile.
It's time for you to return to your friend.
Hang on a second, Alex said. When I first arrived here, you said something about Maya. Any chance you want to elaborate?
Goodbye, Alexandra, Lady Mystique said with a twinkle in her eye. It was lovely seeing you again.
Wait! Before she could finish her sentence, the lady reached out and pressed an object into Alex's hands. Then a gust of wind enveloped her body. The ethereal light dimmed, and Alex found herself standing outside the mushroom circle.
Huh. I guess you were right.
Alex spun around to find Skyla perched against the tree, right where she'd left her.
Right about what?
Alex asked, trying to make sense of the last few minutes. Peering around, she could no longer see any evidence of the different paths that led out of the clearing. Apparently, she wasn't in Raelia anymore, but back in the Azera Forest.
You were right about nothing happening, Skyla answered.
Nothing happened? Alex repeated, turning to give her full attention to the girl. Skyla sent her a questioning look.
Nothing. You just picked up the statue and came back.
Statue? Alex asked dumbly. She then noticed the weight in her hand and realized Lady Mystique had given her the clay figurine.
Are you feeling all right? Skyla asked. You're looking stranger than normal.
Yeah, I'm fine, Alex said, shaking her head to clear it. Let's just get out of here.
Wait, I want to try something, Skyla said. I need to conquer my fear. Now I know I'll be okay.
Alex didn't understand.
What are you talking about?
Before she could say or do anything, Skyla limped 3 steps forward and entered the circle.
No! What? Skyla shrieked, looking around her. What is it?
Alex stared at the other girl in surprise.
You can still see me?
Skyla frowned at her.
Why are you acting so weird?
Oh, never mind. Just come and help me out of here, will you? Alex hesitantly stepped into the circle once again, but this time nothing happened. No wind, no change of scenery, nothing.
So what was that about?
Alex wondered, helping Skyla hobble back through the forest.
Can I see the statue? Skyla asked.
Sure, Alex said absentmindedly, distracted by her thoughts. She handed the clay figurine over, and the moment they both physically connected with it, colorful light exploded around them, and they were whisked through the air, abruptly jerking to a halt a second later.
Just in time, ladies.
Alex jumped at Hunter's voice, throwing Skyla off balance and causing both of them to fall unceremoniously to the ground.
Great entrance, Jordan joked, reaching a hand out to Alex while Tom moved to help Skyla.
Thanks, Alex said, as he pulled her to her feet.
What just happened?
Pre-programmed bubble door, he told her. Once you retrieved whatever object Hunter sent you to find and the both of you held on, it activated. Didn't your note warn you?
No, Alex said, rubbing her bruised behind. Definitely no warning.
All right, class, Hunter called out. Now that you're all back, some in better condition than others, let's see how well you fared.
He asked them to step forward and hand over their strange assortment of objects. Caden and Jordan produced a bulky backpack. Tom and Pipsqueak held out a large canvas painting, and Declan and Blink passed over what appeared to be a live animal, something very similar to a squirrel. Alex decided she was better off not knowing how they caught it, let alone how it had activated a bubble door. Some things were best left a mystery. When Hunter held his hand out to Alex and Skyla, Alex passed him the statue.
Hunter peered at it closely, as did Alex, since she hadn't looked at it properly yet. It was a small figurine of a mushroom, an appropriate choice, considering.
What's this?
Hunter asked. Alex felt her brows draw together. It's the figurine of clay, the one we had to retrieve. He glanced from the mushroom to Alex, looking at her closely.
Right,
he said, drawing the word out before turning to speak to everyone again.
We're finished for the evening. If you need to see Fletcher, make sure to visit the med ward before curfew. We'll meet again on Thursday night.
They started to leave as a group after Hunter's dismissal, at least until he called out,
Alex, a word?
I'll wait for you at the edge of the forest, Jordan offered, and she sent him a grateful smile.
Once everyone had left, Hunter asked,
Do you still have the note I gave you?
Sure. She reached into her pocket and handed over the instructions. His eyes flicked over the words, and then he looked up at her, gesturing to the mushroom figurine.
Do you want to explain this?
Feeling confused, Alex said, What do you mean?
And how did you get back here without the picnic basket?
She blinked stupidly. Picnic basket? Hunter made an impatient sound.
Read the note again, Alex.
She took it from him and did as ordered. The handwriting was the same as earlier, but the words were different. Follow the arrows and retrieve the picnic basket. Beware of traps. The bubble door will bring you back. It didn't say this before, Alex whispered, reading the note again, and I didn't see any arrows.
What did it say when you first read it?
Hunter asked. Alex recited what she could remember of the poem and told Hunter about where it had led her and Skyla. She didn't mention Raelia, though. The story was already odd enough without the supernatural element, and while she knew the people of Medora were no strangers to mysterious happenings, she wasn't quite ready to own up to what she'd experienced with Lady Mystique. Not out loud. Not yet. She'd talk about it later with her friends, but not in the middle of the eerie forest with her intimidatingly perceptive teacher. Instead, she simply told him about the mushroom circle in the clearing and how the statue had brought them back.
Interesting, Hunter said when she was done. Are you sure there's nothing else you want to tell me? Like how an unauthorized bubble door transported you back here?
Alex swallowed and looked away from his piercing eyes. She had no idea, but if she had to guess, her finger would point straight to Lady Mystique. Silence descended upon them until Hunter finally exhaled.
All right, we'll leave it at that. You can go now.
She nodded and made to escape his intimidating presence, but he called her name again just before she was out of earshot, so she paused and turned back to him in question.
You did well tonight,
he said.
The traps you avoided after the picnic basket weren't intended for you and Skyla. And I'm impressed you noticed them. I know you don't want to be in this class, but you'll eventually realize you belong here.
Before she could argue otherwise, he turned around with a swirl of his cape and disappeared into the darkness of the forest.
He really didn't give you the note?
Jordan asked later that night in the rec room, after Baron DC had been given the rundown of their class. Apparently not, Alex said. She grabbed another chocolate bar from the pile, in desperate need of comfort food.
I can't believe your crazy Lady Mystique has returned,
Bear said,
and that once again, you're the only person to see her.
I know, Alex agreed. I have no idea what she was doing there, but I doubt it was mushroom picking. The entire thing was so surreal. Jordan's night, by comparison, had been much more normal. He and Caden had followed the directions on their note, telling them to search for a backpack hidden up a tree. Together they had avoided all of Hunter's traps and easily made it back within the 90-minute window.
I'm more curious about this Raelia place, DC said. It sounds mysterious, meaningful, important.
Alex looked over at her friend and noted the expression on her face.
You look worried, Dix. What's up?
DC shook her head.
Nothing. Just thinking.
Alex opened her mouth to ask her more, but Jordan jumped in first.
So, what happens next?
He asked. Alex licked melted chocolate from her fingers.
I have no idea.
Lady Mystique mentioned something about Maya, but she wouldn't say any more when I asked her to clarify. And then she talked about Raelia being a crossroad and said I'd know what that means when the time comes.
That doesn't sound good, DC said quietly, looking down at her hands.
Yeah, Bear agreed. Let's face it, Lady Mystique has a habit of throwing you in the deep end.
Alex groaned. Can we talk about something else? Something normal? It turned out that normal took more energy than any of them had left after their full day of classes, so they didn't hang out for much longer before returning to their rooms. Once they were alone in their dorm, Alex asked DC if everything was okay.
Sure, DC said. I just haven't been sleeping well lately.
Alex understood what her friend was talking about, being back at the academy and surrounded by people. Not to mention the added strain of their exhausting classes, definitely disrupted their sleeping habits. It would probably take them all a few weeks until they were back in a working routine and feeling properly rested again.
Come on, Alex said, turning out the light. Time for sleep, then.
The next few weeks flew by as Alex got used to her new schedule and ignored the urge to do something more proactive about Avon and Maya. She finally began to settle back into academy life, immersing herself in her subjects, the old and the new. Just like last year, Combat NPE continued to be the most challenging classes for her, but now she could add stealth and subterfuge to that list. It turned out their first SAS class had been an easy introduction, because every class since then had left Alex bloodied and bruised from her attempts at being stealthy in various circumstances. Hunter had also begun teaching them to recognize and practice subterfuge in different real-life training scenarios, both in and out of his class. By far, Alex's least favorite assignment was when she'd been tasked to break into Professor Marmaduke's sleeping quarters to retrieve a personal item as proof of her intrusion. She had to execute it so that she was present when the core skills professor discovered the theft, and Alex then had to find a way to sneak the item back to the room while convincing the woman that she must have imagined the entire thing. Miraculously, Alex had actually succeeded in her mission. It helped that her willpower gift prohibited Marmaduke from reading her mind. Without it, Alex never would have pulled off the deceit. She'd been taking SAS classes for 4 weeks now and still didn't want to be an active participant. But she'd finally come to accept her position, sometimes even enjoying what she learned from the surprisingly patient instructor. Despite his downright scary demeanor, Alex couldn't help but respect Hunter. Not that she'd ever admit that out loud.
What do you think, Miss Jennings?
Sorry,
Alex said, snapping back to the present. She was in her SOSAC class, with Professor Casper Lennox staring down at her from his formidable height.
I asked for your opinion,
the teacher repeated, his melodious voice washing over her. Alex had been so deep in thought that she had no idea what he'd been talking about, let alone how she should respond.
She cleared her throat, trying to stall. Then she reached up and ran her fingers through her hair.
What's that?
Questioned Casper Lennox, his eyes focused on the hand still tangled in her hair. Alex lowered her arm and looked at her fingers carefully, but couldn't see anything unusual.
What's what?
Casper Lennox pointed to her middle finger.
Where did you get that?
Alex curled her other hand protectively around the ring Bear's brother had given her. It was a gift.
A gift?
The teacher asked, his skepticism clear.
Yes,
Alex repeated firmly. A gift.
Do you know what it does?
I know what it is, Alex told him, aware of her classmates' growing interest in their conversation. But I'm not sure how it does what it does.
The shadow walker stared at her intently.
See me after class, Miss Jennings.
Alex didn't know what to make of his request, but she was relieved when he moved away to continue the lesson. The minutes ticked down, and when the gong finally sounded, telling them their classes were over for the day, Alex waved her curious friends off and remained behind, waiting for the professor to speak.
How have you come to possess a shadow ring, Miss Jennings?
I told you, she said. It was a gift from a friend.
And yet, you don't know how to use it?
I didn't exactly ask, Alex admitted. Casper Lennox held out a mottled gray hand.
May I see it?
Alex hesitantly slid the ring off her finger and passed it to him. The professor peered closely at it while turning it over in his hands, almost like he was looking or feeling for something.
This is a unique piece,
he said.
Can I assume you received it from Blake Ronnegan?
Wondering how he could have known that, Alex nodded in confirmation.
I've always considered Blake to be a highly perceptive young man. He was wise, I believe, to give this to you,
Casper Lennox murmured, still looking at the ring,
especially given your unique circumstances.
Alex opened her mouth to ask what he meant, but he continued speaking.
When your need is great, you'll be able to activate the shadow essence contained within the stone,
he told her, handing back the ring.
But you'll have to immerse yourself fully in the shadow to do so.
Okay, Alex said, drawing the word out. I don't suppose you could dumb that down a little for me? What you mean by the second part?
Casper Lennox smiled slightly at her, his sharp white teeth standing out against his unnaturally gray skin.
When the time comes, you'll understand, he promised.
Alex bit back a snarky retort.
Why was everyone saying that to her lately?
Before she could question him further, the professor told her not to daydream during his lessons in the future and dismissed her from his classroom.
After dinner that night, Administrator Jarvis came looking for Alex to tell her that the headmaster wished to speak with her. She followed him obediently to the tower building and up to the very top floor to Darius's office.
Good luck, Jarvis said as he opened the door for her.
Puzzling over his words, Alex tentatively entered the room. Sometimes when she visited Darius, he would take her to his private study above the clouds that was linked through the tower into the library. But this time Alex could see they would be chatting in his official headmaster's office. The huge room held an impressive conference table, but her favorite part was the floor-to-ceiling glass wall that looked straight across the academy campus. Right now the waxing moon streamed light across the grounds, illuminating the beautiful landscape. Darius was pacing near the window wall, and when she closed the door quietly behind her, he barely glanced up at her arrival. She took a seat near the end of the table, knowing he would speak when he was ready. After a few tense seconds, he let out a frustrated breath and moved to sit next to her.
Thank you for coming, Alex,
he said.
I apologize for the short notice.
What's up, Darius?
He reached for a folder that was resting on the table and passed it to her. She opened it without a word, wondering what was going on. Inside were loose papers, each showing photographs of different people, along with their names and other various details. Barty Hicks, Nicholas Reeves, Lena Morrow, Travis Flanagan, Vera Rosta. Alex wasn't sure what she was looking at until she did a double take on a familiar face.
Hey, I know her, she cried. Well, sort of.
Callista Main, Darius said. Was she the woman you saw in the forest with Avon a few weeks ago?
Alex nodded. That's definitely her. Darius massaged his temples.
I was afraid you would say that.
I don't understand, Alex said, leafing through more pages. Why do you have her file? And who are all these other people?
The headmaster stood and returned to his pacing, a worrying sign that Alex definitely didn't like.
Darius? He turned to look at her, and his haggard expression filled her with foreboding.
After you witnessed Avon killing the Hyroa, I began to do some research, he said, reclaiming his seat. Actually, I started when you first told me about the blood-bonding ritual he tried to use on you. Do you remember when I mentioned the possibility of him having claimed more than one person over the years of his exile?
Alex nodded again. Darius had spoken to her months ago about Avon's charisma and his ability to coerce others into doing his bidding, and how perhaps it wasn't a natural occurrence, but a result of bonding them to him by blood.
What are you saying? She asked.
When you first mentioned seeing a woman named Callista with Avon in the forest, I thought nothing of it, Darius said. But after you gave a more detailed description of her, I felt a sense of recognition. It turns out that the woman in that file was once a student here at Acarne.
Alex wondered why Darius seemed to think that so significant. How many Callistas do you know? She asked. It's not exactly a common name, is it? Why didn't you know who I was talking about straight away? Darius looked directly into her eyes when he answered.
Alex, Callista Main graduated from Acarne over 70 years ago.
Alex jerked her head back in shock.
It's true, Darius said, reading the look on her face. I studied her case file when I first became headmaster, because her gift was so powerful, and her disappearance was considered a tragedy.
70 years? Alex gasped. That can't be right. She didn't look much older than me.
Callista was declared missing by her family when she was 23, Darius said. No one has seen or heard from her since then, as far as I'm aware. I think we can now presume that, considering her apparent lack of physical aging, she must have been claimed by Avon all those years ago.
Alex bit her lip and pointed to the rest of the file. What about all these other people?
They were also students at Acarne at one time or another, Darius said, his expression somber. Just like Callista, their giftings were powerful. Unique, even, and they too have disappeared over the years. I fear they may have met the same fate as hers.
Alex felt the room tip. What are you implying? That Avon has some kind of gifted army? With all of them under his control? He hates humans. Why would he use them? And what for?
I don't know, Alex.
Darius answered gravely.
But it can't bode well for any of us.
It was then that Alex noticed just how tired he looked. He was not the vibrant man she'd first met. Instead, he was a man burdened with the weight of an uncertain future.
What do you need me to do? She whispered.
Darius captured her eyes with his own silver ones.
You know the answer to that, Alex.
She held his gaze. You need me to go to Maya. With an apologetic look and a tone to match, he said,
I know I agreed to give you time, but the circumstances have changed. We need to know what we face, and we need the Mayarans to be aware of what might be coming. Only you can do this.
Understanding the truth of his words, Alex knew her answer. I'll do it. I'll go on Saturday. His relief was apparent in every line of his body.
Thank you, Alex. I know how much you don't want to do this. And I realize how dangerous it may be.
Don't thank me yet, she warned him. I have no idea what will happen. I may not even be able to find a way there. And if I do, who knows how receptive the Mayarans will be.
I have the utmost faith in you.
Darius smiled warmly at her for the first time since she stepped into his office, and Alex was relieved to see the cheerful expression back on his face, regardless of why it was there. We'll see, she said.
In the meantime, I don't want you to worry about the rest of this,
Darius told her, indicating the file on the table. I'll agree to that if you will, she returned.
Huh. Well then, he said. I guess I'll try if you will.
Deal, she agreed, holding out her hand to shake on it.
On that note, it's nearly curfew,
he said after sealing their agreement.
I apologize again for keeping you up.
No problem, she said. And despite how much I'd rather not have learned what you told me, I'm glad you trusted me enough to share. At least, this way, I'll have a heads up if any zombie-like gifted humans come my way in the future. Judging by Darius's grimace, Alex guessed it was too early to be so cavalier about it. Sorry, she said sheepishly. Humor is my best coping mechanism. That prompted a dry chuckle out of him.
We all have different strategies, he agreed.
You may be pleased to hear that humor is one of the more normal tactics. Alex gasped dramatically and placed a hand to her chest. Heaven forbid I do anything normal. Darius laughed with her, and Alex felt significantly better than she had a few minutes earlier. Whatever was coming in the future, they would all face it together. That was all she needed to know. 10.
Are you sure about this? DC asked.
Not at all, Alex answered. But right now, I don't think that matters. It was Saturday morning, and Alex and her friends were standing in the foyer of the library. Despite her desire for time to slow down, the last few days had passed by annoyingly fast. She'd tried to stall by going to visit her parents again, but they'd been overcome with excitement by some new artifact they'd unearthed. She'd ended up leaving them to their work after a token catch-up that, in Alex's opinion, didn't take up anywhere near enough time. And now here she was, standing with Jordan, DC, and Bear, and trying to summon the courage to continue onward.
Where's your sense of adventure? Jordan asked, nudging her in the ribs. Just think of how awesome this'll be.
I agree with Jordan, Bear said. This is going to be epic.
DC shared a look with Alex. Any minute now, they're going to start grunting and beating their chests, caveman style.
Are we going or what?
Jordan whined, bouncing up and down and acting much younger than his 17 years.
We're going, Alex confirmed, leading the way towards the staircase on the far side of the room.
She had tried to convince her friends to stay behind, reminding them that she had no idea what they would face and how dangerous it could potentially be. But they would hear nothing of her concerns and adamantly refused to let her go without them. Part of that, Alex knew, was because of their overwhelming desire to see the lost city. But another part, a larger part, she hoped, was because there was no way they would let her face such an unknown situation alone. Her friends were good like that, even if they all unanimously agreed to keep any and all details from DC's parents, certain that the monarchs would not be too pleased at the idea of their only child and heir to the throne going off on perilous adventures unknown.
Do we have a plan?
Bear asked, as they started their journey downwards into the library.
Nope. Alex said. You guys know I have no idea what I'm doing. But my best guess is to start in the corridor of doorways and hope for some kind of direction.
Wicked,
Jordan whispered excitedly. None of her friends had experienced the wonders of the library quite like Alex had. Sure, they'd heard her stories and witnessed little bits and pieces, but they'd yet to discover firsthand what it meant to be a part of a library adventure. Judging by the exhilarated looks on their faces, they were giddy with anticipation. The staircase continued much further down than it was architecturally built to descend, and only when they reached a dead end did Alex will a doorway to appear in the stone wall. "Ready or not, here I come," she mumbled under her breath, stepping into a labyrinth of corridors filled with doorways that continued out of sight. She knew from previous experience that some of them opened to exotic, even impossible places, while others led to more door-filled hallways. DC moved to stand beside Alex. "Where do we start?" When Avon had captured the two girls, it had taken him some time to find the doorway to Maya, even with his advanced genes and his direct line of descent from the founder of Akarne. Alex may not have shared his relation to Ian Rucka, but she still had something Avon lacked. She was chosen, and the library favored her. "For the record, I think this is a bad idea," Alex said. "But it needs to be done," DC said. "You said so yourself. We wouldn't be here otherwise." Alex slumped her shoulders.
"I know."
"Best just to get it over with," she thought as she stood up straighter, steeling herself with determination. "Excuse me, library?" she called out, ignoring the startled and frankly amused looks from her friends. "Can you please show us the way to Maya?"
"Alex, what?"
Bear didn't get a chance to finish his question before a doorway further down the corridor clicked open, revealing a familiar-looking suit of armor. "Sir Camden!" Alex cried, moving forward to greet the knight.
"Lady Alexandra," he replied with a formal bow. "How doth thee?"
"I'm well, thanks," she said. "But what are you doing here?"
"Did thou not call for an escort?"
Sir Camden asked.
"Perchance, the fair Lady Alexandra and thy loyal retainers be embarking upon a quest for the lost city. Sir Camden be thy guide."
Alex stared at the knight, dumbstruck, before she managed to mutter, "This library sure works in mysterious ways."
"Follow me, Lady Alexandra," the knight offered. "Sir Camden shalt lead the way to thy destination."
The suit of armor did an about-face and began walking down the corridor, stopping to open a door and waiting for them to follow.
"That sounds like an invitation to me," Jordan said, gleefully rubbing his hands together. "I don't know about you guys, but I think today feels like a great day to find a missing city."
Although DC and Bear were just as enthusiastic as Jordan, the three of them unanimously voted for Alex to take the lead behind the knight. So much for their adventurous courage, thought Alex. But they needn't have been concerned, because the door led to another hall of doorways. The four of them followed the knight along the new hallway until he opened another door for them, once again leading to more doorways. They continued this routine for some time, until Sir Camden came to a halt in front of another door.
"This be the door thou art seeking," he said to Alex. "If ever again thou needest to traverse this here labyrinth, call upon Sir Camden, and I shall come to thine aid. For the doorway to the lost city doth not remain in one place, and even one such as thou shalt not find it without a guide."
"Thank you, Sir Camden," Alex said, grateful for his help.
"Thou art welcome, fair lady."
The knight bowed to Alex and her friends before he walked to the other side of the hallway and straight through a solid wall.
"Handy little helper, isn't he?"
Jordan remarked. "He sure is," Alex agreed, turning to the door in front of them. There was nothing special about it that marked it from the other doorways, but Alex still felt it was different.
"Do you think this is it?"
Bear asked quietly. "Sir Camden wouldn't have brought us here for no reason," DC pointed out.
There's only one way to know for sure, Jordan said, and reached out his hand.
Wait, Jordan, I think...
Alex began, but it was too late. He was already grasping the handle and turning it. Nothing happened. Jordan jiggled at the handle.
It's locked. That was anticlimactic, Bear said.
Jordan dropped his hand and leaned away from the door, before surging forward and ramming his shoulder into it.
I wouldn't do that if I were you, Alex warned.
It might just need a little budge, Jordan said, ramming it again. It's been closed for thousands of years, right?
Yeah, but remember, the library is...
Before Alex could finish her sentence, some kind of force field slammed into Jordan, throwing him into the air and against a wall across the corridor.
Alive, she finished weakly.
Jordan groaned and stood to his feet, pressing a hand to his head.
I won't be trying that again.
It serves you right for being so stupid, DC told him. Despite her firm tone, the concern was clear in her eyes as she walked over to inspect the back of his skull. When she was satisfied he wasn't about to die, she placed her hands on her hips.
Do you think Avon would have kidnapped Alex and me if all he had to do was break down a door? Use your brain, Jordan. He needed her to open it for him, since she's chosen, which means it's probably something only Alex can do.
Jordan offered a sheepish smile.
Oops.
Oops is right, DC said. You're lucky you weren't seriously hurt.
Just my ego, huh?
He said, his smile widening.
That could use more injury from time to time, in my opinion, DC replied, fighting her own grin.
Alex decided it was time to jump in. Should we try this again? At their nods, she reached out and grasped the handle, turning it effortlessly. Instead of opening, the door dissolved, leaving the four of them staring at an unexpected sight. It was beautiful for sure, but that wasn't why Alex was so enthralled.
I've been here before,
she whispered, stepping across the threshold and looking around the familiar forest clearing. It was different in the light of day, but she could clearly make out the mushroom circle that surrounded the area.
This is Raelia.
Raelia? Jordan repeated. The place where you saw Lady Mystique that night?
Yeah,
Alex said, spinning around. The clearing had been a mystical place with the moonlight streaming through it, but the sunlight brought a new surprise. The trees around them were not of the normal brown wood and green leaf variety.
They were silver.
Their glittery trunks burrowed deep into the grassy forest floor, and the charcoal gray leaves shimmered against them, creating a beautifully artistic effect. Sporadically dispersed around the area were bushes and vines, their vibrant green contrasting with the rest of the ethereal forest. All in all, it was a fantasy painter's dream landscape. When Alex turned and noticed the doorway had disappeared, she wasn't worried. She knew she'd be able to call it back into being when the time came. Unlike when she'd been abandoned in the middle of the forest, this time it was Alex who had opened the door and could therefore reopen it for the return trip. But that didn't help with their current predicament.
Which way do we go?
Bear asked.
There are paths in every direction.
It's the crossroads, Alex said.
That's what Raelia means, remember?
Choose your path,
DC whispered, almost too low to hear. Alex noted the strange tone of her friend's voice.
Dix, are you all right?
You're really pale. DC looked at Alex, her eyes haunted, but then she blinked and the emotion disappeared.
I'm fine, just nervous, I guess.
Don't worry, Dix, Jordan said. I'll protect you.
He flexed his arm muscles and wiggled his eyebrows at her. DC smiled and tried to swat him away, but he grabbed her around the waist and threw her over his shoulder.
This is for the caveman comment earlier, he said.
Jordan, let me go, she squealed, laughing madly. You're molesting the princess.
You say molesting, I say assisting, Jordan corrected. Just sit back, relax, and enjoy the scenic view.
Of your backside? DC said dryly.
Believe me, it's not all it's cracked up to be.
There was silence in the clearing for a moment before all four of them burst out laughing. Jordan had to set DC back on her feet because he was laughing so hard.
I didn't mean...
DC tried to explain, but she couldn't get the words out amid her own laughter. She inhaled deeply and tried again.
I didn't mean for it to come out like that.
Jordan's eyes were sparkling. I think we've underestimated you, princess.
When they all calmed, DC said, We should probably be careful what we say out here. There's no way to know who might be listening.
Dix is right, Alex agreed. We need to figure out where we are before we drop our guard too much.
Why don't you ask the library which way to go?
Jordan suggested. I can try, Alex said, but we're not in the library anymore, so I don't know if it'll do any good.
Hoping no one else was in hearing range, she raised her voice and called out, Excuse me, library, can you please show us which path to take?
Nothing. No helpful nights, no spotlights, no moving trees, not even a rustle of the wind.
I guess we're on our own, Jordan said.